Well, praise the Lord. Where we're at in the Bible is the Jews had been in captivity for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar came in and he destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple. He destroyed the buildings. And Jerusalem during these 70 years is largely desolate. There's weeds growing up in the street. And the children of Israel were deported. And they were deported to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And that's where you get the book of Daniel. That's where you get the book of Esther. That's where you get the book of Ezra. Lamentations is an account of their emotions as they went through that period of time. And Jeremiah was talking to him before that. And he was also led away a captive with them, and he died there. Okay? And so that's where they're at. They have been deported. They've been gone. Could you imagine if that happened to us? You know, somebody came in and destroyed our city, and then they just loaded us up on boxcars to go to places to work. You know, that this, in a modern equivalent, would be similar to how the Jews were treated in Germany when they were shipped off to work different places. It would be how they were treated in Russia and much of the world during this time. Nobody wanted them. You're here to work and you're here to provide all this labor. And after all of this time, they have come home. They were little children that grew up in captivity. Some of them were born in captivity. And now they're returning as old men or young men, middle-aged people that were born in captivity under slavery. And, you know, whenever we see people returning from things like this, whether they were kidnapped and held captive or they're prisoners of war that are coming back, you know what everybody wants to do? They want to interview them. And they want to say, tell us, what did you learn? What was your experience? And what should we learn from you? And you know what? We also don't belong in this world. Do you know that? We are strangers. And we're pilgrims and we're passing through and this world is not our home. And we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we cannot feel at home anywhere in this world after salvation. Okay? And so when you think about that stuff, they're coming back and they're seeing all this stuff and ruins and desolate. And, you know, we also, we're going to leave this world. And we're going to go to heaven, okay, where God dwells. And the Bible says they were instructed to go back and build the house of the Lord, weren't they? You know what we are? We are builded together a habitation for the Lord. You know, a lot of people think heaven is only about where they dwell. But you know, one of the most important aspects about heaven, it's not just about where you dwell, but it's where God dwells. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and God dwells in them. And he said, I will dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so they're coming back, and it says in verse 56, look at chapter 2 and verse 63. So here's how many people came back with this first wave. It says this. He said in verse 64, the whole congregation together was about 42,303 score. And it says in 65, beside their servants, their maids, whom there were 7,307, there were among them about 200 singing men and singing women. Okay, so this is a large group of people. Okay, and you know what? As you read through this chapter, you know what most of us say? That's just a big list of names. It's just a big list of names. What do I care about the children of Hashem, 223 in verse 19? What is in verse 25, the children of Kirjath-Rim, Sereth, and Beeroth, 743. What does that matter? I mean, why do I care in verse 7 that the children of Elam, 1,254? Or the children of Darkon? What is this, Star Wars? But if the children of Darkon were sitting here, what would they say? What would they say? Well, I think that number one, they would say, remember, guys, what we learned in this horrific thing that we went through? Pain is not always personal. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1, and look what he says. Now, these are the children of the province that went up out of captivity. Those which had been carried away, whom Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar the king, had carried away unto Babylon, then came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his own city. They didn't do anything to cause them to be carried away captive. They were children. And this happens often in the Bible. Remember when they were going to go into the promised land? He said, you're going to go and your carcass are going to fall by the wayside for 40 years. But your children that in that day had no knowledge of good and evil, they'll go in. But guess what those children did? They walked in the desert for 40 years. And guess what these guys did? They were slaves for 70 years, away from their families and away from their cities and away from their town and away from their culture. And they didn't have autonomy and freedom that the people that were capturing them had. And it wasn't their fault. They experienced pain, but it wasn't personal. They were born in captivity, and their identity was framed by the consequences of a past that they never chose. And their lives began in Babylon, in exile, not because of their own doing, but because of their ancestors, their parents' choice. Their pain was an inherited one. And what was the reason that they were experiencing their pain? It was because, look at Isaiah chapter 1, it was because that 130 years before, and even much longer before that, their ancestors refused to listen to Isaiah and Jeremiah and refused to heed the warnings that God was giving them. Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished thee, and brought up children, they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." They weren't even considering that God was someone they should worship and obey and listen to. And verse 7, he says, well, this is going to be the consequences. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. Verse 8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard. It's like this old gardener shack in a vineyard that's overgrown with and rotted down. And that's what the most precious buildings, they're like this little shack in the woods. And he said, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, a besieged city. Grass is growing up in the streets. There in the foundation of the temple, trees are coming through. Vines are spreading out. And this beautiful city now lays desolate in ruins. And Lord, Isaiah says this in verse 17. You don't want this to happen? Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He said, you're not doing the right thing, and this is going to happen if you don't do it. And then look what the Lord said to their ancestors. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. This is where you're at. This is what you're doing. But can we have a conversation? Can we read? God wants your thoughts and your reasoning to be involved with your faith and with your decisions. He said, no man building a tower sitteth not down first and doesn't count the cost. And what everybody should do is sit down and count the cost. Here's the cost of obedience. Here's the cost of disobedience. Amen. And you know what the Lord said? Let us reason together. Let's have a conversation. Though your sins be as scarlet, and you're doing all this bad stuff, he said, they can be white as wool. Though they be like red like crimson, they can be white as wool. And if you be willing and obedient, this won't happen. You'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, look what he says. You will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Our children suffer the consequences of our sins. We suffer the consequences of our parents' sins. And they refused, and so here's the kids. They're being cut up by the gender benders. I'm not kidding. He said, your children will be eunuchs in the house of Babylon. You have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel that had their gender taken away from them. Why? Because of their parents' refusal to obey God. And if you think about how difficult that must have been for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will never have a child. Never. There will be no one after me. I'll never have a child to teach. You know, during those times, it could be very tempting to take it personally. And it could be very tempting for us to say, you know, God doesn't really love me. God doesn't really care about me. Look what's happening to me. And you know what we tend to do when difficult things happen in our life? Cancer, and sickness, and death, deformities, disabilities. Economic conditions. We're very tempted in those times to say, I don't think God cares about me. He's against me. But you know what the children of Darkon would say to you? Pain is not personal. You know what I think they would say? They would say along these lines in the same point, they would say, just as we die because of Adam's sins and all pain and suffering and sin and all of these situations we get into can be traced back to Adam's sins, and it can be exacerbated by our sins, by the sins of our parents, you have to understand that God didn't want this pain here. And it is not a referendum on you. And they would say, life is not fair. And that might be very difficult for you ladies and gentlemen in middle school. But life is not fair. It's not. If you look here in this passage, look at verse 42 or 24, chapter 2, Ezra 2:24. Look at it. The children of Azmaveth, how many were there? Okay, look at verse 35. The children of Senna, how many were there? There's 10 families here with over 1,000. And there's 6 families with under 100. Gibbar, 95. Jeshua, 74. Netop, 56. Nebo, 52. You know what that means? That the children of Azmaveth, they were in the wrong geographic area connected to the people that had charge over them. You know what that means for them? More of their children died. More of them were killed. The children of Nebo would say, we had the unfortunate thing to be under this guy. And this guy was cruel. And he was hateful. And he held it out for us. And he killed our children. And he killed our brothers and sisters. And only 56 of us returned home. Life is not fair. You know why we yearn for another world and we want to leave this world? Because life is not fair. And there's not a God in heaven that is saying cancer for you and cancer not for you and cancer for you and cancer not for you. Okay? Good news for you, bad news for you. We are in a battlefield between good and evil, between God and Satan. And everybody knows this about war. There is no way to rationalize and calculate who's going to die and who's not going to die, where the bullets are going to hit and where the bombs are going to fall. And in this life, we don't know which demons are around us and which angels are around us and which Christians are around us and which one of the devil's people is around us. And we don't know if we're going to be part of the sons of Nebo and Azmaveth or the children of Senna. We don't know how many are going to survive. But please, don't take this as a personal assault against God. It's not personal. God came here to help us with this. Jeremiah went with them into the captivity. There were prophets that went with them into the captivity. God went with them. And God is here to help us. So, just remember, all of God's actions are rooted in love. God is love. And it's not His fault. And if you just go to Him and say, I have this pain. He said, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, these things that I'm going through, they're breaking my heart. They're breaking me down. They're so difficult. And the Lord said, I know, son. I know, daughter. you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you some extra grace today. Because I love you and I care about you. You know, young people, you know what they do? And all of us do. And we can't let it become a pattern of life. You know, young people say like this, my teacher doesn't like me. And I'll say true, your teacher doesn't like anyone. They're a horrible person. It's not personal. But don't develop that mindset in life about God. I think number two, they would tell us this. Look at Ezra 1 and verse 1. I think they would say, remember the promises. Don't you? When things are difficult, and you're in the midst of those 75 years, those 70 years, they'll say, you know, we were there and we had heard about an old prophecy. Look what it says in verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, I forgot to put this on the slideshow, but if you look it up, there's a thing called the Cyrus Cylinder, where they found in 1856, they found this to collaborate with this, that he made that proclamation to send the people back. Man, what a blessing. This Bible is collaborated by archaeological evidence. This is a real thing. This really happened. But what the cylinder doesn't reveal to you is that it was the prophecy that Jeremiah gave. And the reason he made this proclamation is because God's promises are always going to be fulfilled. They're always going to be fulfilled. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 25, he says in verse 10, 130 years before, you know what Jeremiah said? I will take from them the voice of mirth, 25:10. He said, I'm going to take these things from them. The whole land will be an astonishment and a desolate, in verse 11. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. In verse 12, and when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish them. Now look at Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, causing you to return to this place. You know what he says in Jeremiah chapter 33? He says in verse 6, I'll bring again health. And I will, verse 7, I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And he said, and then in verse 11, Jeremiah 33, verse 11, he said, one day on the streets of Jerusalem again, you're going to hear the voice of joy. And one day you're going to hear the voice of gladness. And one day you're going to see weddings take place on the streets of Jerusalem, the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And you're going to hear people say, praise the Lord. Why? Because God is good and His mercy endures forever. He said in verse 12, this place that's desolate, in verse 12, without man and without beast, he said it's going to become a habitation for shepherds and they're going to cause their flocks to lie down. He said in verse 13, the cities in the vale and the cities of the south in the land of Benjamin, the flocks will pass again there. And what a beautiful scene that is. What a beautiful memory, promise to keep in mind. He told them before the death started, before the destruction started, before the misery started, before the promises, before all of that started, he told them, listen, the thoughts that I think to you are thoughts of peace. That's talking about this. It's not talking about Instagram, okay? to give you an expected end. That's not talking about you getting a Mercedes. That is talking about these people going into captivity and suffering to remember that God cared for them and they would go back and God would fill them with joy again and things would be okay again. And you know what the children of Darkon would say? Man, it gets tough. But if you can remember the promises of God, you can get through anything. If you can just remember in the pain the promises of God and that this won't last forever, you can get through anything. What are your favorite promises? All things work together for good to them that love God. God, all this suffering, all of this, it's going to work together for my good. Because I'm one of those that love God and that are called according to His purpose. He's going to make me to be conformed like the image of His Son. One day I'm going to be like Jesus. One day He's going to change this vile body that it may be fashioned according to His glorious body. And I'm going to be able to walk through walls and I'm not going to be able to get sick and I'm not going to be able to get fat. And praise God, it's just going to be incredible that I'm going to have no pain and no sickness. And I'm going to be in a body that doesn't age and doesn't pass away. And I am going to be in a place that the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I'm going to be there and there's going to be no more goodbyes. There's going to be no more deterioration. I'm never going to have to repaint the old thing and I'm not going to have to do maintenance. And everything we do will last and we will build and there will be no end. What's your favorite promise? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for thee. God, I can bring you my care. I can bring you my heartache. And God, I know it's tough, but you said I can bring it to you. And I can cast it on you, and you'll pick it up and carry it. You know what He said? Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and I will get you rest. And they would say, listen, 56 of us came back. And it's recorded right there in the book of Ezra. God promised, and He hath fulfilled, and our names are written there. Trust the promises of God. It'll help you get through. You know what I think they would say? God wants His cups back. Look what He says in verse 7. He said, he said, you know what? You're going back. You know what you need? You need those cups. And he went into the treasurer and he said, these have been sitting here for a long time and they're not my cups. They're God's cups. And why don't you take these back with you? So when you rebuild this temple, you can use God's cups for what He intended. And so he gives the cups and he counts the cups. And these are the same cups that God told Moses to make. This is the same cup that Aaron held. Do you realize that? Isn't that a blessing? This is the same cup that Bezalel made, one of my great ancestors. Bezalel made the cup, filled with wisdom from God to make these cups. Amen. And he said, go get those cups that Bezalel made and Aaron handled. And he said, you bring them back and put them back into worship for God. And he took those cups, Nebuchadnezzar did, and he put them in his temple. And one day there was a guy there named Belshazzar or Darius, you know, and he's having a party. And he said, you know what? I'm pretty big. Go get God's cups. Go get those gold and silver cups that are God's cups that are meant to be used in the sanctuary for the Lord and bring them in here, and we're going to put wine and all this stuff in them, and we're going to praise our false gods with God's cups. So they have this party, and God's cups are there, and they're there, and they're drinking, and they're saying, praise Baal, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, there comes this big hand, and it starts writing on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin. And his knees smite together, and he's scared, and he doesn't know what it means. And Daniel comes in, and he says, you know what God did to Nebuchadnezzar, how he was an animal and did all this stuff, and you didn't follow God, and you didn't praise him, and your heart is lifted up against God to such an extent that you went and got God's cups. Bad things are going to happen to you because you took God's cups. And you know what? The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Do you know that? We're like a cup. And just like those cups, you know what they held? They held the sacrifice for the Lord. They had the basins that are mentioned here. And you know what they did with the basins? When they took the blood out of the animal, they caught it in a basin. And the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And in this vessel dwells the life that God gave us. And you know what God doesn't want to do with our vessels? He doesn't want them and the temple of a foreign king being used for another purpose than for God's purpose. God wants his cups back. And you're God's cups. And let me ask you, who is drinking out of your vessel? And what is your vessel being used for? Because according to the Bible, it should be used for the Lord. You are God's cups, and wherever your vessel is, if it's in the wrong place, get that vessel out and separate yourself. In a great house, there's vessels of honor and dishonor. And if you will purge yourself from the vessels of dishonor, you'll be a vessel meet for the master's use. And they said, you know what? We came back and we brought the cups with us. And you know what that reminded us? We are supposed to carry the light of God and the truth of God. And those cups represented us. And we are supposed to embody the Lord and let his light shine through us. God wants his cups back. He wants his cups to be used. And he wants his cups to glorify him. And then lastly, I would think they would say this. Remember, you're going home. Look in verse 1. It says they came back. 70 years. 56 of the children of Nebo came back. And it's recorded. Over 3,000 of the children of Sinna came back. And it's recorded. And they came back. And if your name is written in the book, you're going home. Amen. Do you know that? If your name is written in the book, you're going home. And you know, one day, there's the Lamb's Book of Life. You know that? And whoever's written in that book is going to be with God.
Amen.
And I hope that it says, and the children of Bezalel, four. And I don't know how many generations will go. The children of Ashton Juergen, three. I mean, could there be anything better? He got saved, and he became a father, and his children are here. they're here. What a great day that's going to be.
Amen.
Everybody that's alive is going home.
That's right.
Everybody that's alive is going home. I mean spiritually alive.
That's right.
Everybody that's name is recorded is going home.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the end of the chapter and look at verse 62. And the children of Barzillai the Gittite called after their name. Verse 62. Look, it says, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. So what happened? They were polluted from the priesthood.
That's right.
And they couldn't go in. And they couldn't enter into the temple, and they couldn't enter into the worship. Why? Their name was not recorded.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't in the register. Let me ask you this, and you want to make for sure of this. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
Is it in there? Because one day the registry is coming out.
Uh-huh.
Salvatore Moreau.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're good. You're here. Joshua Racho.
Uh-huh.
Come on in. Timothy Holt. Come on in. Noah Cummings. Come on in. Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, when you get saved, He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. He said, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
He said, that is what should make you rejoice. That your name is written in the book of life. Let me ask you, is your name in the book? Because you know what happens when you get saved and you get born again? Your name gets recorded in the book of life. This is the Son of God. He that overcometh, I'll give him a new name. He'll be written down. And who is he that overcometh but he that believeth on the Son? And how you get your name recorded is very simple. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and my name is not in the book. And when the registry opened, I'm not your son. I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. You paid for those sins that I deserve to pay for, but you made the payment for them. And you said, if by faith I received you, that my name could be written in that book. Even though I am unworthy and undeserving, and I understand that when I get there, it's not going to be about if I was good or if I was bad. It's going to be about whether my name's in the book. And there's only one way to get my name in the book. And that is to bow before you, admit that I'm a sinner, and receive you as my Savior. And Lord, though I deserve to burn in hell, you died and you paid for my sin. I believe on you. I trust you. And the Lord will say to the angel, get out the ink and get out the book and write his name there. You know, I was reading this with my wife, and I said, I'm not going to read this big list of names. What is that? I don't even know who these people are. They're not even in other parts of the Bible. I'm not going to read it. Let's just go to the next chapter. And the next chapter said, these are the ones that went home. And I got to thinking about it. And I said, these are the names of the people that saw the promise of God fulfilled.
Right.
And they're all recorded. This list of names is so precious. And I went back and I read it. And as I read it, I saw people getting off the train and going home. You're home now. You're home now. All of the things that I've been through, all that my family's been through. And we're home now.
Amen.
They went and laid the foundation, and they started singing, and the old men started weeping, and the young men started shouting. And the people couldn't tell if it was shouting or weeping. I can't believe it. I never thought I'd come back. Here I am, Jerusalem. This is what the Songs of Degrees are written about. The Psalms of Degrees. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I'm leaving slavery. I'm going to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad. My help cometh from the hills. My salvation comes from the hills. While we were there, they said, "Sing us one of the Lord's songs." And I said, "How can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? These are meant for God." So we hanged our harp up on the willow tree. And now 200 singing men came back. And they took their harps off the willow tree. And they began to sing for joy. I think they would say, "Look, you have to remember you're going home. You have to remember you're going home." I'm going to have the piano come forward. I don't know what else to say. God is good. God is good. And He's so good that He records a bunch of names that we don't even know about. And He said, they went there. I want it recorded that these people saw my promise fulfilled. As it is with them, so it will be with us. Let's pray. And if you're not saved this morning, and if you're not born again and your name is not written down, we want to invite you to come forward. People's heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. And if you just step forward and come up, Pastor Ashton's here, and he'll take a Bible and show you how to get your name written down. So when the record's read, your name will be there. And if you're already saved, would you pray for those that are close to your heart that their names are not written down? Lord, we come before You, and we are so thankful.